Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Your Data HQ. We have Vivek Adarsh here with us today. Vivek is the co-founder and CEO of AVI, a California-based startup that enables 10x faster decision-making during airside operations for the aviation industry. He holds a PhD in computer science from UC Santa Barbara, where he worked at the intersection of machine learning and high-speed networks. Apart from being an avid aviation geek, Vivek has worked with and consulted for some of the largest technology firms in the world, including Google, HP Labs, and NVIDIA. Thank you so much, Vivek, for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you go about founding AVI, and how did you identify the technical, especially like AI problems that need to be solved in that domain?
Okay, so the story behind AVI is actually very interesting because it was never supposed to be a company. Mm-hmm. So I'm an aviation geek, right? So grew up around aviation and whatnot. And I've never thought I'd be in this domain, except a few years ago, I actually had an academic conference in Amsterdam. And mm-hmm. I was about to go, and then I was traveling on this particular airline that lost my baggage at Heathrow, out of all places. Mm-hmm. And I ended up giving a presentation in my sweats that I was wearing for the past 20 hours. And if you can imagine, it's so traumatic, right? Mm-hmm. So that sort of just got me thinking. I was like, why does this problem, these fragmented and disconnected problems for passengers exist in this domain? And mm-hmm. I was like, I have two choices. Go on Twitter, complain about it, or try to do something about it. For my own sanity, I chose the latter and started as an idea, and then flourished really into a startup. And that's how we were here. So how does this connect to the technical abilities of the problem we're trying to solve? And in many ways, my PhD sort of prepared me to be able to have that domain expertise to solve this. So for instance, one of our first flagship products, Ether, it's the first product that enables proactive and predictive insights into when an adverse event like mishandling is going to happen way before a passenger even boards their flight. And if you think about it, like there should have been a solution all these years, all these decades, and unfortunately, there isn't, right? Yeah. So we use proprietary AI algorithms to be able to crunch a lot of data sets to predict or flag potential risk, right? So that airlines can have mitigation schemes in place way before something of that sort even happens. So that's the gist. That's a 10,000 feet level view of what we do.
So that's a very interesting story. And, not many people would sort of choose to go and find a solution to every problem they face, even though it may look like, it's a very obvious problem. It should have been solved by now. But there actually isn't a solution out there. And that's what we call innovation, right? And as a PhD graduate, you have that innovation like sort of flowing through you. You're enabled to do that. And what would be your advice for someone to develop this ability for sustained innovation, especially in AI?
Sustained innovation. That's a very good question, actually. A couple of things, right? So ensuring, sustained innovation in AI projects, it kind of requires a culture of experimentation and learning within and with the organization you're in, right? So mm-hmm. as a technical leader myself, what I can do is I can help develop this culture by encouraging my own team members to try new things, like take a lot of risks, learn, and basically learn from your failures, right? And to make it a little bit more detailed, my view is that innovation can be defined in two ways, right? Vertical innovation and horizontal innovation. Now, what do I mean by that? So vertical innovation is how we get evolutionary systems such as transformer models and so on and so forth, right? Horizontal innovation, on the other hand, is taking the state of the art and mm-hmm. applying it across an industry problem or a specific pain point for your customers or your potential customers, right? And the novelty in the application that AI can be applied to, in my opinion, has a tremendous potential, right? So the bottom line here is that horizontal spread of solving newer and or previously overlooked problems like we're doing with aviation using AI is how we achieve a sustained innovation. And I'll go a little deeper into what we do and how that sort of connects is that, for instance, we are pioneering the usage of AI in commercial aviation mm-hmm. to make air travel seamless, right? Most companies in this space are legacy corporations that have massive inertia, right? So consequently, there's also a massive opportunity in applying a state-of-the-art AI solution to solve critical pain points, but required solutions across these verticals. So that'd be my two cents.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that's actually a trend that we're seeing these days, right? Like, so just over the past 10 years or the past 15 years, it was very much vertical innovation, right? Like take a bunch of CNNs, keep adding layers, keep adding filters, keep adding gates to, RNNs. And it's been like just that a few well-known data sets, a few well-known competitions or benchmarks to beat. Right. But over like the past 5 years, or especially after the exposure of ChatGPT and its potential to like apply everywhere in life, there's been this new opening of let's apply AI everywhere and see where it goes. And I do think that in fact will feed the next round of vertical innovations because right. we'll realize as we apply horizontally, like what's actually missing and what we need to go deep down into. So that's very good advice, actually, for sustained innovation. We need to like switch direction or dimension of innovating once in a while.
Right, exactly. And you and I have done a project together, if you remember, and back in the day.
RNA, yeah. Yes. It was LSTM, actually, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that was fun, yeah.
So how do you learn and adapt continuously in a rapidly evolving field such as this?
I'm gonna preface that by saying the last 10 weeks have been mind-boggling with the amount of innovation that's just been in the news, that's just been showcased to the world. I'm sure it took them years, case in point, OpenAI and other tributaries, so to speak. So that's of course a critical question to answer. So I'd say in a rapidly evolving field like AI, continuous learning and adaptation are essential, but how do we do, right? How do we go about it? As a technical leader, you can foster, a culture of continuous learning by definitely providing a lot of training and development and a flexible manners and of course, encouraging team members to attend conferences and events and supporting knowledge sharing and collaboration in a broad manner, right? Now, particularly to us, one cool thing we did and we still do at AVI is that we encourage our team members to participate in speed hackathons that mm-hmm. happen across the city, and there are a lot of them, right? It's fun. But it's also a great learning opportunity, especially after GPT-4 was launched. For instance, after that particular event, 8-10 weeks ago, we've attended more than 5-6 hackathons already. And some of my team members have actually won those hackathons, and some others, my team members and I go together. I just, apart from the sheer amount of learning, it also fosters like a strong culture of working together. Yeah. So you learn and you have that culture built in. So I would say socialize, right? Get to learn from other people who might have a better idea of how fast the domain is progressing. So that would definitely be my advice.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my sort of next question on, like, what are some things that textbooks really cannot teach, or just, structured courses cannot teach. It really is about, like, being involved with the community and just see where the overall industry is going. But I'll ask anyway, like, do you want to, like, highlight any things that, like, generic courses and structured courses and structured textbooks cannot teach that you'll still have to learn to be in this field?
So I have a little contrarian view here in as it relates to like using traditional media of learning. So in my opinion, the best way to learn is really to just do it, right? Take up a demo project and start coding, right? You will break many things along the way, and most of the things won't work. And that is okay, right? But that's also the most definitive way to learn. No shortcuts, not a whole bunch of reliance on reading blogs or books or whatever it is. That's how I learn. I taught myself. And to be honest, I found that to be a lot more effective in terms of like the gradient of your learning as opposed to what you're learning, right? So that's very important that you keep up the gradient, right? That's always our North Star metric. Now, that being said, there are some fundamental concepts you can learn from projects, such as for instance, the importance of ensuring data quality and pre-processing, very important. Spend hours and hours and hours on it. Second would be the need for the clear problem definition and goal setting, right? You don't want to just go off on a tangent with a project or a demo, right? Another thing I would add in is also the value of explainability in AI models, although that can come at a later stage, but it's super critical nevertheless. And lastly, the importance of persistent monitoring and evaluation, be in a position to be able to evaluate a model, to understand what's working and what's not working. And the later part is where you learn what do I need to do to make things work. For instance, most folks today can get started on doing a demo project using accelerated hardware using one of the hyperscalers, right? AWS, GCP, Azure, you name it. Even without like a single dollar spent, right? And in those instances, there are tools and techniques and mechanisms already available for you to make your learning process a lot more efficient and quite honestly very enriching. So yeah, do it. Just do it. I don't want to be Nike, but yeah, just do it.
Yeah, that's great advice. So as a technical leader and as the founder and CEO who's applying AI for this very important product and business area, how do you structure a team of data professionals?
Oh, yeah, good question. So I think structuring a team of data professionals requires definitely a careful consideration of your corporation's goals and needs. Sadly, there is no one size fits all solution here, right? Since large corporations have much different needs than startups like ours do, right? So having worked in both these ecosystems, I can talk about both, but for brevity, I will stick to how we do it in a startup, right? So when you're just starting out, I think it's very important to understand the importance of something I mentioned earlier, which is clear goal setting, right? Clarity of thought is the first thing. And if you are a founder, you're also the product manager, meaning you're setting the vision for the product. Like these are the milestones, this is the strategy, this is the alternate strategy, and so on and so forth, right? And the other aspect to it is that most machine learning projects, most of those projects actually do not see the light of the day, right? It is really hard to set up an MLOps pipeline to have, a continuous deployment, keep redoing or evaluating models or whatever. So in order to make it really simple, what we employ is that product manager, which would be me or my co-founder, and then we would have one data engineer, very critical to set up those ETL jobs. And then we then usually prefer a machine learning engineer, not a data scientist. Somebody who understands the structure of how deployment works, and production code is, drastically different, as this, better than anyone. So one MLE, and then maybe if folks are developing or deploying on cloud, then an MLOps engineer. Although we've seen that an MLOps engineer and data engineer can both be the same person, but it just depends on the experience. So that's how we would start it if you're just starting out fresh, right? From scratch. And then you can add in data scientists and then a bunch of analysts and so on and so forth. But I would not overcrowd it for the lack of, everybody would be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. It can get a little messy. So don't avoid that.
Yeah, and my take on the data scientist versus the ML engineer consideration is that I think they should both be the same. Like, data scientists should know how to deploy what they've developed, because obviously, we cannot like base our whole careers on developing things that don't see the light of day. It has to be developed. If it's too huge, learn how to like compress it, learn how to optimize it, prune it, whatever, right? Like, and learn to Dockerize it, containerize it, like evaluate it. And that's it, because the hard part is already done. You've developed something fantastic. All you have to do is now just take it out there and deploy it in a optimal manner. I just wanted to add that.
And yep precisely, totally agree.
And finally, what are some tools you use to stay organized?
It's really hard to stay organized in a startup. I'll tell you that. It's a everyday struggle. Not because of we're bad at it. It's because the nature of the work that you do requires you to be. There's an aspect of disorganization in a startup. And I think that's how you know you're doing well. back to your question. Yes, it is important to stay organized to manage complex projects and teams. My view on organization as a whole is this. I tend to use the simplest of tools to accomplish tasks. I don't want to use 50 different applications or whatever it is to do it. So some of the tools that we use, Asana, for project management, very simple, very easy to use. And then tracking tickets, of course, very important. And then we use Confluence to create detailed documentation of our processes. I'd definitely like to add this as super critical, cannot stress enough on this point. Always document your technology, your processes, and structure, because if not, you will end up accumulating tech debt, right? And it's really hard to go back from there. So that's there. And then for time and management, and I actually want to recommend a calendar, weirdly. Yeah. I use Cron. Have you heard of Cron?
No.
It's this fantastic, it's an incredible startup that makes scheduling and sharing availability like a breeze. Mm-hmm. And all of this using just keyboard shortcuts. I do not want to touch my mouse. And Cron just makes my life much easier. I typically use a time boxing mechanism for planning out my calendar, typically in the slots of 15 minutes. And Cron is super, super helpful in organizing it. At the end of the day, what I do is that I usually export a detailed report of my weekly activities and simply run an analysis script to visualize where I should be focusing most of my time on and what tasks to eliminate or delegate in the future. And I think that analysis is super important. I do it exactly after dinner on a Saturday evening. And that's almost become a ritual now. Highly recommend for other founders as well. And then lastly, we use Notion to publish easy to access FAQs that teammates may have, your vision, your structure, processes, protocols, yada, yada, yada. Other than that, Notion also helps us publish internal websites on the fly. So that's super useful. So those are the few things we use on a daily basis. Makes our life much, much easier.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'll have to check out some of the things. For example, Cron, like that I've never heard about before, but I'll definitely check it out.
Absolutely. I'll share the link and whatnot. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you. So thank you, Vivek, for sharing your experiences and insights on this fun podcast. And thanks to the listeners, too.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. And this was super fun. We get to talk about all of the fun things that we do as a job and sort of, you know, that bleeds into our personal life. I think this is an amazing concept. So thank you for arranging this and thank you for having me on it.
Definitely.